Would you stand with me today for the reading of God's Word? Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 27 through 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will plant the kingdoms of Israel and Judah with the offspring of people and animals. Just as I watched over them to uproot and tear down and to overthrow, destroy and bring disaster, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. In those days, people will no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Instead, everyone will die for their own sin. Whoever eats sour grapes, their own teeth will be set on edge. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will know me. They will know the Lord, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated today. In September 1995, God called out a group of pioneers to fulfill His created purpose. God promised to watch over these pioneers as they planted and as they began to build in accordance with His plan. This group of 40 or so people faced lots of decisions and problems along the way, of which they had no answers to, only promises. For the path which this group of pioneers was on was one that had not been blazed before. And when you're on a path that no one's ever gone before, there aren't answers. You can't look around and see what everybody else is doing because nobody's ever done it before. Their actions were the subject of many colorful conversations, many of which were often colored in a negative light. Nevertheless, this group of pioneers, they persevered because they prioritized God's purpose, the purpose for which they were called. They prioritized God's purpose over the purpose that people had for them. This remnant of people started meeting for church in Sharon Elementary School. For 2+ years, they would gather together early and they would set up chairs and equipment, and then after service they would tear down the chairs and the equipment, and the next week they would set up chairs and then they would take down the chairs week after week. And some might have a really good question: why go to all that trouble when there's so many good choices for church right around the corner? Well, these pioneers had a perspective for unchurched people that other people did not have. They uniquely positioned themselves to be used by God by doing things that had never been done. They were positioned to attract the unchurched seeker and to strengthen the seasoned churchgoer. Their pursuit was very, very simple. They were going to pursue the very things that God Himself pursues. Must be a long list, is it, preacher? No. As it turns out, there's only one thing God pursues. You. People. This group of pioneers did things no one else did. They had small groups when everybody else had Sunday school. They had a band when everybody else had a song leader. They sang contemporary music when everybody else sang hymns. Now, hear me. It's not that one group of people is right and another group of people is wrong. It's that one group of people had been called for a purpose that was different from other groups of people. Oh, that is a hearty amen. I'll say it again. It's not that one group is right and another group is wrong. It's that different groups have a different purpose for which they are called. Okay, I'll say it. If we, the church, would just stop fighting over our purposes and realize God has given us one purpose, to seek and to save that which is lost by different means, let's let every church seek Him first and take care of the rest. Okay, tangent over. Tangent over. When God calls out a group of people for a purpose, He always calls them to be pioneers that pave a path of a brand new way for others who come behind to follow in. If you're unaware of the story I just told, that is the story of our church. Our church was officially organized January 21st, 1996 as Eagles Way. Later in our history, the name was changed to New Life. We are blessed today, and I could be wrong, so please correct me if we have more, but at least four charter members here today. One is not in the room. I know at least three are. Would you stand? We want to honor you. Many other faithful pioneers who've come alongside and have been part of this journey for a lot of years. When God calls a remnant of people to fulfill His purpose, He calls them to be pioneers of a new work that paves a new way. The word that came to Jeremiah, did you catch it? The days are coming. In eight verses, he refers to those days at least four times. The days are coming. Each time, he gives a different purpose. He says, the days are coming when I will plant the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And it should be echoing in our minds, the days are coming when I will plant, unlike the days where I uprooted. The days are coming in the future when children will not pay for the sins of their parents. Did you catch that weird little parable about the teeth and the sour grapes? That's all that it meant. Was that there's a day coming when children will not be punished to the third and fourth generation for the sins of their parents. That's in the Ten Commandments. But the days are coming where each will be repaid for their works, whether good or bad. So the days are coming when they won't be punished, unlike the days where they are living. They are living out the sentencing that wasn't ascribed to them, but to their parents. The days are coming when I will make a new covenant with Israel, a covenant that's not like the old covenant. The days are coming after that time I will put my law in their hearts that's unlike the law that I didn't put on heart, but I put on stone. To this point in Jeremiah, though, when the people heard those words, the days are coming, their stomachs probably begin to churn. Because to this point in the book of Jeremiah, that phrase was never followed with good news. It was always followed with bad news. If you stay with me just a little bit, I'm getting someplace good. The days are coming when this city shall be called a place of slaughter. Now, how's that for a political campaign? The days are coming when this will not be called Newburgh, but it will be a place of slaughter because I will turn you over to your enemies. That's what Israel had heard for 23 plus years. And then they're witnessing it come true. And they've witnessed that take place. The days are coming when I will punish those who serve me outwardly, but they do not serve me inwardly. The days are coming when the delivery service of God stops. You know, on national holidays, and the mail service isn't delivering, and we were expecting our package that day, we needed our package to arrive. The people needed God to show up and deliver, and the days were coming. This was what they had always heard for 23 plus years. You'll need deliverance, but no deliverance will be found. You will call out to me, and I will not hear your prayers. And they were experiencing these days. The days are coming when the land will be in ruins. You see, it's more than the fact that these days are coming. These were the days they were living in when I read to you Jeremiah 31. So, God says things are about to change. Have you ever wished that your present self could have a conversation with your past self? Like, have you ever looked at a picture and thought, why did I wear that? Or worse yet, you have kids or grandkids that do it, and you try and convince them, that was cool at the time. They're like, there's no way that was ever cool. But do you ever wish that our future self, we could go forward in time, see what was going to happen, and then come back to present self and say, this is the decision you need to make? Have you ever wished that? I wish that. I just want to know what to do. I need an answer from God. It's as if God, in His infinite timing, goes into the future, grabs the newspaper of the day, and brings back the headlines to present day. And here's what it reads. It doesn't have to be like this. The days are coming when the future will be better than the past. The days are coming when things won't be this way. Oh, you're not excited yet. Don't worry. That because this God is a God who will come and intervene, and He will forgive our sins and remember them no more, our future days will be better than our present days. It doesn't have to be like this. Our life does not have to be ruled by brokenness. Now hear what I'm saying. It doesn't mean we won't experience brokenness, but brokenness doesn't have the word, the power over our life to dictate how we feel, how we operate, how we go about our daily life. Our life does not have to be ruled by anger. For God is a God of deliverance. Our life does not have to be ruled by greed. It doesn't have to be defined by our bank accounts. It doesn't have to be defined by our work. It doesn't have to be defined by our to-do list. It can be defined by God and who He is, that He is our God and we are His people, His children, the sheep of His pasture. It doesn't always have to be like this. You know why? Because it definitely won't end like this. When all this comes to an end, guess what? Disease won't have the final word. When all this comes to an end, violence will not have the final word. When all this comes to an end, injustice will not have the final word. It doesn't have to be like this because it most definitely will not end like this. The days are surely coming, declares the Lord. And it is a word of good news. Death will not get the final word. Do you know who gets the final word? God. For heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The days are coming, declares the Lord. Pioneers will always live according to the word of the future and not according to the word of the past. Pioneers live according to the word of the future and not according to the problems of the present. The text I did not read for you today, but shows that we're going to discuss, I'll tell you in story format because it's quicker. That gives me more time to preach. Jeremiah received more than a word from the Lord about the days that were coming. Then he was required to put his money where his mouth is. Literally. Jeremiah was imprisoned in the middle of the courtyard. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, your cousin's about to show up and give you opportunity to buy his piece of property. Now, in those days, there was a pecking order to the property. In fact, the best understanding that I could make of it is that if you're next in line and someone in your family wants to sell a part of the family farm, you are obligated to buy it. Now, if you don't want to buy it, you can move on, but it's frowned upon, like outcasts frowned upon. So Jeremiah, in some ways, had this legal binding to buy the property when his cousin came. So his cousin came and said, hey, Jeremiah, you want to buy this property? And the Lord said, when he says that, buy it. God, real estate isn't real good. And by the way, what good does a prisoner have with a piece of property? That doesn't make any sense. You have me in the middle of the city being humiliated by everybody. I can't move. I can have a few visitors apparently. But you want me to buy a piece of property. Oh yeah, and by the way, I'm an old man and I will probably never see that piece of property come back to me because there's this whole thing, Babylon. Like, we can look outside and see their camp, and we can see the destruction. It's getting closer and closer and closer. They're going to take us. Now, I believe what you said, 70 years, but when the life expectancy of my life will be long gone before the 70 years are over. So what? But you want me to buy it. Why in the world would Jeremiah obey the word of the Lord, other than the fact that it was the word of the Lord? We're discussing it this week in group, and I love the faith of other people because they're like, well, the Lord said it, so I'm going to do it. This preacher don't have that much faith. I want to know why he would do it. It's because Jeremiah was living as a pioneer according to the words of the future and not according to the problems of the present. If all Jeremiah did was look at what was happening now, he would miss what was about to happen in the future. If he went on how he felt today, he would have missed the good fortune God had coming his way. Just logistically, when you buy stock low and you know it's going to go up, that's a crime. Insider information. God ruined it for Jeremiah. And he said, in the future, just logistically, what you pay for it today, it's going to be much more prosperous because there's coming a day when people will be buying and selling the land again. Just so you know, like that's a little extra blessing for obeying God. He has insider information. And sometimes he will call us to invest in something that everybody says that doesn't make any sense. If we based on what we see and what we feel and what we know and the problems we're going on, we'll miss out on a blessing that God has for us in the future. So God says, invest. You see, it's not enough to believe that better days are coming. We have to start to work according to the promise. Because faith without works, it's dead. But faith partnered with works can change the world. In the early 2000s, the CEO of Netflix came to the CEO of Blockbuster and asked him, almost begged him, is how the story reads, to buy Netflix. At the time, Netflix was only mailing DVDs. Do any of you remember that Netflix service when they mailed DVDs? Yeah. It wasn't streaming online, probably because we still had some of the dial tone. Blockbuster looked at it, and one CEO said, we didn't buy it because, or one former executive of Blockbuster said, we didn't buy it because at the time, they were losing money. And there's a difference between management and vision. Oh, yeah, there is. Basing your decisions on what you can see and feel in the present instead of what could be true in the future. And by the way, Netflix was bleeding money. They weren't making any money at the time. No wonder he wanted to sell it so low. Fast forward a little bit. When's the last time you went to Blockbuster? There may be some kids who want to know, what is Blockbuster? They went bankrupt. We don't go to rent our movies anymore, we stream them. Netflix has surpassed CBS with $32.9 billion of the TV market share now. And he could have had it for $50 million. But because he didn't invest in the future, he just maintained what he had. He lost it all. Here's the word of the Lord for the church. We, the church, are a Blockbuster church trying to live in a Netflix world. So much of what I see and hear and know, so many of the books that are written, so many of the conferences that they make us go to, it's all about present day problems that are 20, 30 years old. I've stopped going and wasting my money. I want somebody who can talk to God and get a word from the Lord and tell us about the future that is coming. You see, we maintain when we live in defense of the world, when we're afraid of the changes in culture, but when we see the changes as an opportunity, we start to live according to a future and not according to the past. You know, when this church was started, everything they did was new. No one, hardly anyone, especially Nazarenes, were doing it. This church was one of the first that offered back to school haircuts and back to school type events. Now how many back to school places can kids go? What a wonderful thing. There are times I may be too transparent, and this may be one of them, so I'll ask for forgiveness in advance. Don't take any offense to what I'm about to say. I'm just using it as an example, okay? We good? Some of you are unwilling to agree. That's all right. I was reading this week. Let me back up. This church was one of the first to offer a Halloween event to pass out candy to kids. Now hear me, this is not right or wrong, should we do trunk or treats or not. I'm just going to use it as an example. I was reading this week of all the places that you can take your kids to go trunk or treating. And I think it's great. I'm thrilled. You can go to the mall. You can go to the zoo. You can go to Ivy Tech. You can go to all these places. And what I wonder sometimes, here's what I think. This is going to sound arrogant for somebody who is unchurched. I think God is always willing to give creative new ideas to His church, to get out in front, and only for the community to follow behind the church. Do you see what the community has done? They've ripped off the church. They copied and pasted it. Took all of the credit from God. And you know what? It's okay. If we're not careful, what we will fall into is maintaining what we have, because that's what we know, when God is saying, but if you'll let go, I'll call you to future days. Days that the world has never seen. Oh, I love the holy hush. You see, what we need is a fresh word from the Lord. We need a word about the days that are coming. And I know this, I've not received it yet, but I am seeking it. And what I'm asking you today is, will you seek it with me? See, this is the place where if I were somewhat normal, I would lay out some grand plan I have. I ain't smart enough for that. I'm not strategic enough. I'm not creative enough. I'm not spiritual enough. But I know that my God has a way of calling His people to the same thing. I'm thankful for a church today that I know you are centered on His Word. That all the things that we've done are great and they're wonderful and they're beautiful, and we give God thanks for every one of them. I think of the words of a song, "But God, we will not move without You. So show us the way." I'm going to close there. I have so much more sermon I could preach. I don't think it needs to be said. Terry and Paula, the band, would you come? We sang this song a few weeks ago. It's simply called "Oceans, Lord, Would You Call Us Out Upon the Waters, Where Our Feet May Fail, But You Never Do." If you're here today and you're saying, "You know what, I'm not even sure about church or any of this, that I just need something for my soul. I just want to come back to a point. The way things are not the way they have to be. That there is always opportunity to return to God because He has already returned to us. And that He is willing to change, that past mistakes do not have to define future decisions and future life, that in Christ all things can be made new. That's the hope of our salvation. Amen. If you're here today and you're in a struggle and say, "Preacher, I could really care less about anything you said to the church." That's fair. That the way things are right now is not the way they will end. God will come and restore all things new. So we wait in the assurance and expectation of that hope. And then, if you happen to be with me about what God might be calling us to, I don't know about you, I'm excited to hear a word from God. To see what He's going to continue to do. You see, God's future is made possible through pioneers like you and me.